Everybody jump, 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 jump. I said a hip hop, the hibbit of a hip hip hop, you don't stop. Rap, 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 rap it up.
I will definitely call you back later then.
Come on, wrap it up.
Big Sharkle up.
Okay, you know what? Wrap up the Sharkle thing. Come on.
Mr. Parker, wrap it up, please.
Okay.
Okay, everybody, that's a wrap.
That's a wrap, and we kind of have a hybrid wrap today. We typically like to have people in studio with me, but we're trying something because I particularly wanted to have both of these people on today, and one of them is in Jacksonville, so she was willing to call in Jacksonville, one of the top 10 swamp cities of Northeast Florida. So Anna Higgins, a lawyer and a lobbyist, an L&L as we like to call it in the industry, nobody calls it that. Anna, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News.
Hey, I'm excited to be with you. Thanks for letting me call in.
Absolutely. And in studio, we have a repeat offender again for the rap, one of my other favorite people, Jeremy Evans. Jeremy, welcome back to the rap.
Thank you, Andrew. How are you?
I'm doing great.
How are you, Anna?
Hi, Jeremy. I'm doing great. Thanks.
And by the way, I didn't know this, and I learned it because when I was texting you each who the other person was, and apparently you all are in-law related.
That's
and I didn't
correct.
Know that.
Yes.
Okay, so nice. So today's a family affair. Fantastic. All right. I'm going to play an audio clip, actually two, because in case people did not hear it earlier in the week, I just want to make sure we get the information out to everybody so they know what we're talking about. Because to me, this was one of the biggest national political stories of the week. It kind of didn't get a lot of attention after Monday or Tuesday, but this was President Trump with Kristen Welkert on Meet the Press. Oh, can you turn my computer on there for a second? There we go.
If a federal ban landed on your desk, if you were reelected, would you sign it at 15 weeks?
Are you talking about a complete ban?
A ban at 15 weeks.
Well, people are starting to think of 15 weeks. That seems to be a number that people are talking about right now.
Would you sign that?
I would sit down with both sides and I'd negotiate something, and we'll end up with peace on that issue for the first time in 52 years. I'm not going to say I would or I wouldn't. I mean, DeSantis is willing to sign a 5-week and 6-week ban.
Would you support that? You think that
goes
too far?
I think what he did is a terrible thing and a terrible mistake.
So, yeah, it was 49 years, not 52 years. That's irrelevant. The relevant part is that he's criticizing Governor DeSantis for a 6-week abortion ban bill that he signed. And then the follow-up to that was on Radio Iowa on Monday. Governor DeSantis said this.
I don't know how you can even make the claim that you're somehow pro-life if you're criticizing states for enacting pro-life protections for babies that have heartbeats.
So let's start here. Anna, you've worked for years in the pro-life realm. You have been a pro-life lobbyist and activist and writing legislation. And I mean, you are the, of all the people I know who I would call an expert on this this topic, you are that expert. I have been very curious to know whether the committed core evangelical pro-lifer who loves Trump and is a true Trumper, how they're taking this sudden very difficult thing, because it seems to me like a very difficult thing. But you tell me, what have you learned?
Well, that's a great question. I've been conducting some informal research amongst people and organizations I know that are longtime Trump supporters, but this is their abortion is their big issue, and it is mine as well. But you know, it seems to be like his Rubicon when it comes to the reaction from these organizations and people who have been Trump supporters, and chalk it up to a sincere miscalculation or hubris, however you want to define it. But his statement has turned, to the last person I've talked to, turned these people to other candidates other than Trump in the Republican primary. Wow. It has been the line in the sand for them. And I don't know, you know, it seems like Trump knows the statistics. DeSantis knows the statistics. I wish every candidate would point out the fact that over 90% of abortions take place before the 15th week.
Right.
So, you know, that's what DeSantis should be repeating in his talking points every time he's in the public eye. And, you know, from the evangelical Christian Trump-supporting perspective, this is their line in the sand.
My analysis was that I had read a couple of the quotes from leaders in the pro-life movement who had said something along those lines, but I was genuinely curious because I know people in my personal life who are, you know, they've been sold out for Trump since the day he came down the stairs and the escalator, and nothing has ever pushed them even an inch off that position, and I wondered if this would be it. Jeremy, what's kind of your take on this?
So I think that when my assumption when I hear this is President Trump is, and I think it's obvious as his actions are, he's running a general election. He's not running a primary election. He is already running for president as though he has a Republican nomination. And he, if you look at some of the statewide initiatives that Kansas, Wisconsin, some of these places where the pro-life issue has come up and it has not gone the way the pro-life folks would have liked it to have gone.
Right.
I am assuming that the president, President Trump, is moving in that direction. My caution would be, and I actually looked this up this morning before I came, September 2015, so where we were 8 years ago, if you look at the polling, Jeb Bush is doubling up the field. Carly Fiorina is in second. Ben Carson's in third. Donald Trump is in fourth. And so you kind of have this inverse of where we were 8 years ago, where Donald Trump is way out in front, and then there's kind of DeSantis and then a group after that, that you cannot forsake what's going to happen in a presidential primary just because it looks like you are way out ahead in the field at today's time and point.
Yeah, I have said an
point.
I think that the real question is going to, and look, I hate polling, hate it, like despise it, want it to be illegal, hate it. but just because for all kinds of reasons. But for me, what I've really been curious to know is in a week or two when this has fully percolated to everybody who it would be relevant to, what will the polling show, particularly among the core Trump supporters who are, you know, again, the kind of committed pro-life activists, evangelicals or Catholics or whomever? I've been curious. So we're talking to Anna Higgins and Jeremy Evans here on The Wrap. We're going to take a quick break and get Candy in here with Traffic on the Fives.
This brought to you by Knox Pest Control. It's K-N-O-X. Knox knocks them out. And taking a look around, the only thing that we see, Pine Forest Road, the Pine Forest I-10 eastbound exit 7B is backed up. It's backed up on Pine Forest southbound after an accident in that area. If you see an accident or a slowdown or have a traffic tip, text 437-1620. We are News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. So just one quick follow-up on that. Let's imagine you're correct, Jeremy, that this is not Trump displaying his ignorance. This is Trump making a strategic choice about running for the general, assuming he's got the nomination in hand. Is it... Is he lying? I mean, is he, you know, does he really think that a 6-week ban is a mistake? And has he just really miscalculated the significance of this issue to the GOP voter?
I don't know.
Well, you're,
go ahead.
Yeah,
Anna.
Go ahead.
No, Anna, go ahead.
I'm sorry. I was just going to say you, Jeremy, made a great point about, you know, the polling from 2015 or what the field looked like. This opens the door a crack to the other candidates in the primary. But that's a great question. Is he lying? I think he is and has always held the same position on abortion, perhaps. I don't know that it's a lie. I think that exactly what Jeremy said, he's running for the general and he is going to try to appeal to what the current situation and political climate is.
Okay, fair
and
enough.
I think he's always gotten his back pocket. I appointed the two Supreme Court justices
absolutely,
that overturned
yeah.
Roe versus Wade. And so every kind of time that maybe I misspeak, and he's always been, and I think one thing that happens in Trump world is every decision to him happens in a vacuum. Everything is a deal. Everything is a different set of situations, and every conversation is different. There is no history of... this happens, so then this happens.
Yeah.
It's everything moves forward. But I do think he ultimately on this issue has the, for lack of a better word, trump card of trump cards.
Yeah.
If I wasn't president, we would still have Roe versus Wade.
And I think that's a fair thing for him to say. It's certainly, you know, every pro-lifer knows that. The question is, and what are you doing for me in the next 4 years?
Yeah.
And what will it mean for us in the next 4 years? Because we've already got the majority. We don't need more majority. What we need is state by state, because that's where we're at now, or some kind of a federal ban that we like a little bit better. Switching gears now, talking about state politics. Oh my God, we are facing the cascade of cascades when it comes up for not necessarily next year, but the year the election after that. The gubernatorial, right? Okay, if DeSantis wins, then he will, of course, leave the governor's office and Jeanette Nunez will be the governor for 2 years. And then we're looking at 2026 and who's going to run for governor. And Matt Gaetz is the number one thing that people keep thinking. Byron Donalds is another one that people keep thinking. There's a thought that his dad, obviously former state Senate president, Don Gaetz, would run for the what will also at that time be the vacated seat, District 1, that right now you have Doug Broxson occupying because he will term limit out. So you could theoretically have a Gaetz and a Gaetz, if that's even possible. So let me start with you, Anna. Do you think Matt's running for governor? And, I mean, what do you see actually happening in this cascade, if anything?
I think, what was leaked about him potentially running was not an accident. and I think it is actually highly probable. Will it happen? It's difficult to say because so many things can happen in that amount of time.
Sure.
It's hard to foresee who else will be potentially getting in. Maybe Ashley Moody,
Jimmy Patronis,
and maybe Lieutenant Governor will put her name in as well. But what I know for a fact is that there are multiple interests, and of course, we saw the interaction between Matt Gaetz and Byron Donalds on what used to be Twitter this week as well. So that gives me even more of a clue.
So I am not on the social media platform owned by Elon Musk very often. I go there occasionally for various things, but I don't hang out there. Jeremy, you're on there more often. What did happen between Byron Donalds and Matt Gaetz this week?
There was just some, I think there was some conversation about the votes that happened yesterday and the
related to the NDAA.
And some back and forth about, let's be serious. Matt, blah, and some back and forth, and I think that you have
the pending vote on the government shutdown and the budget and Kevin McCarthy's speakership and all of that. Yeah.
So I think that there are so many question marks that happen when you start talking that far in the future. There is, if Governor DeSantis becomes President DeSantis, you have a sitting governor running for re-election in Jeanette Nunez, which changes the dynamics as opposed to if Governor DeSantis does not become President DeSantis.
We might finally find out who she is.
Yeah, and then I think that Matt Gaetz' number one priority right now is to ensure that Donald Trump becomes elected president because he's so tied to all of that world. I will say this, love Matt Gaetz, hate Matt Gaetz. A governor from Northwest Florida can only be good for Northwest Florida.
Right,
there
absolutely.
Is no bad side to that. So if you despise Matt Gaetz, having the governor reside in Northwest Florida would be a tremendous boon for Northwest Florida.
Is Ruben Askew the last one?
Yeah, I believe so. And that was in a time where it was a whole different world.
Yeah.
And so I think that there is something to be said that it could be tremendous for Northwest Florida to have the governor be from here. And that's a point that as you're talking and thinking about this, he would be the first viable guy to run for governor in a significant amount of time from our area.
And I think one thing I know about Matt is Matt's not going to go unless he thinks he can win.
Yeah.
And also my one concern though about him is, and obviously he sees the pattern, Governor DeSantis was in the House and Governor DeSantis went into the governorship. And so he knows that pattern. He's seen that happen. My concern is I think there are people who are born to be executives and there are people who are born to be legislators. I think Matt is born to be a legislator. I wouldn't have known DeSantis was born to be an executive. Like Rick Scott was born to be an executive, right? I was surprised he went into the Senate. I was surprised he could even be happy in the Senate because one of 100 is a frustrating thing to be, especially in a Republican minority. But that's my one thought is I'm not convinced that Matt wants to be governor. What do you think, Anna?
Yeah, that's a great point. And you mentioned DeSantis, and I'm, not pulling for any one candidate, but I'm saying his style of governing and his effectiveness in governing is really unparalleled right now, I think, and just the way that his ability to govern in that executive role. And what you're saying about Matt Gaetz being born to be a legislator, I absolutely agree. He is brilliant when it comes to this debating back and forth and, you know, talking with his colleague, being one of, you know, 435 or whatever the number is. And I think absolutely you're right. I think everybody has a little bit of a different finesse when it comes to whether they should be legislative or executive. And I think DeSantis really has that governing aspect. For all his other maybe not so wonderful qualities, he's very effective at governing.
And I don't mean that as a, you know, necessarily a criticism of Matt. I've said this for myself.
Right.
I would be miserable as the governor. I would not be good at it. People say, Andrew, why don't you run for I don't want to be an executive. I'm not good at making decisions. Let me argue and fight and reason. You know, that's the thing. I would be a legislator, if anything. We're going to take another real quick traffic timeout. We'll be back with Anna Higgins and Jeremy Evans in just a second. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
This is brought to you by the Gaetz Pride Parade. See?
See what you did?
I need to see what I did. Okay.
And legal marijuana.
Thank you. Oh, no. As we take a look at our roads, everything is running smoothly now. It looks like Pine Forest is doing just fine. South is still a little slow, but clearing up. And if you have a traffic tip, of course, just text it in. 437-1620, News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Maybe if Matt Gaetz becomes governor, James Calkins can be his press secretary. Joke. 856 on News Radio 92.3.
Oh, my God.
Anna just fell off her chair.
I did.
We'll give you a second to recover. Okay, let's talk about the other part of the cascade, though. So if it does happen, Senator Brockson is going to leave office. You know, he's going to be termed out. One theory is that, Don Gaetz would run for that seat. If Matt leaves Congress, that opens up the congressional seat. Michelle Salzman? Grover? I don't think Grover has enough, regional appeal, but... somebody who's known enough around the... who runs for... could be Senator Brockson runs for... Who do you think runs from D1 for the congressional seat if it's open? Jeremy?
I think Michelle Salzman is the first candidate in the race.
Yeah.
The other names that you've heard, it's one of those things I would eat a shoe if Grover Robinson could win a Republican primary.
Yeah.
That's just not... could he win a general election, perhaps? Could Grover Robinson win a Republican primary? I don't see that ever happening. The superintendent from Okaloosa County, Marcus Chambers, has been a name that has been mentioned significantly a lot of times. I don't think that he would do it. The one thing that people talk about Don Gaetz running for the state Senate seat, there's already a great candidate in the race for state Senate, Frank White,
right,
who was... close to winning attorney general statewide,
right.
And probably our two, there's Matt and, Frank and is a tremendous candidate. Don is a tremendous candidate. If there was really a race between Frank White and Don Gaetz for state Senate District 1,
that would be a very, very difficult thing.
It would
be
a difficult race and probably the most watched state Senate primary in the state.
Right.
Because both of those people are tremendous. So Frank White is somebody who I don't know that he would want to run for it. I know at times there's been a list of names. David
If Don gets into the Senate race, maybe he runs for Congress instead?
Yeah. David Stafford could be somebody who would make...
He's always begged off it. Whenever I've asked him about this, he goes, I'm good being the supervisor of elections. Yeah. So.
And so, I think that there are lists of names that everybody would want to look at that race. But I think Michelle Salzman is definitely the candidate who is the most...
the obvious one who would want it and would have a lot of support to go for it.
I don't know that Alex wouldn't consider it.
That's fair. I don't know that Alex wants to go to D.C. with the baby anyway, but
I think Doug Brockson is ready to hang his hat up and enjoy the rest of his...
I think that's right,
He's been a tremendous servant to the community, but I think he's...
Anna, we're almost out of time. Sorry we didn't give you a lot of time there, but your thoughts on that?
No worries. So Frank White, he's filed for Brockson's seat. Brockson has been an amazing advocate for Northwest Florida.
Agreed.
And whoever ends up in that seat, I think, will be a good advocate. But I think that would be a really interesting race no matter how it goes.
I worry that it would be ugly, even though both of those people would not typically race that way or campaign that way. It would be potentially the most... You would have a real opportunity for genuine, meaningful civil discourse in a highly contested Republican primary, if that winds up being the candidate slate that we're looking at.